Let's just pray together. Lord, you are our light. And your word says, in your light we see the light. And so we pray that you would do that this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a danger that the guys who were at the men's breakfast yesterday morning might think that I just have one intro, because I'm going to do it again. I'm going to start with good news and bad news, and this time we'll start with the good news. And the good news is we're going to be speaking about the end times. Now, I know that is something that everybody wants to speak about. You say end times, and everybody's ears go like this. The bad news is we're going to speak of the end of the end times. And the end of the end times, of course, you know, is Judgment Day. That, I know, is not such a popular subject to talk about. But we're going to hear what the Lord Jesus said. And we're going to be reading from Matthew 25, very well-known scripture, Matthew 25, from verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You guys having problems? There we are. Got it. Right. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. You see, the loudspeaker on the left was giving problems. My left, of course. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Just to put this in context, this comes from a section in the Gospel of Matthew, starts chapter or two before, when Jesus is speaking of the end times, and he's addressing several elements of the end times and what will happen, and it contains several warnings. But now we must be very clear that the theme right through, including this part, the theme is be warned be ready, not be afraid. You know, you remember that, what was that? I think it was a movie, Be Afraid, Very Afraid. Not that. It's be warned, be ready. That is what Jesus is speaking about there. It's a very well-known part of Scripture. And the first thing that we need to note about this is that it looks like a parable, if you just look, glance at it. But it's not a parable. It is Jesus using, let's call it an agricultural illustration, to speak about a very real event in future. It's a really real event. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, it's a very specific event. He doesn't go into all the details of that event, not yet. There are other places in the Gospels where He does give us more information. But He's saying that something is going to happen there. It's going to be a division, and people are going to end up in eternal life or in eternal punishment. That's what he is saying in this part where he's addressing the end times. So the first thing that we should note here is that this is going to be a big event. No, not big. It's going to be huge. It's going to be the biggest. It's going to be just massive. This is going to be something to end everything. Isn't that so? And why I'm saying this is because sometimes we just all need to just focus, bring our attention back to where we're going to, and just recalibrate our compasses. So that we just remember, because look, he says it's going to be in His glory and all the angels with Him. He will sit on His glorious throne. I don't think any of us can even imagine what it's going to be like. It's going to be big and it's going to be inescapable for us. It's going to be final. And we need to give it our serious attention. I'll tell you why. Everywhere in Scripture you come across little nudges in this direction. I was just reading this week in Jeremiah. I think it's at the end of chapter 5. Now, Jeremiah is giving the words of the Lord, and he's saying, the Lord is saying how dissatisfied He is with the Israelites. And He ends off by saying, and I'm dissatisfied with the priests because they're doing their own thing, and I'm dissatisfied with the prophets, they're doing their own thing, and the people love it. I mean, that was just the worst of it. The people love it when these people are doing these things. And then He ends off with the words, but what will you do in the end? What will you do in the end? And you see how even in the Old Testament there's this thing calling us to get our focus right. Now let me step aside and show you how faithful the Lord is, how wonderful He is. Did you notice that this morning up to now, the words that were brought were all confirming God's love, His unfailing love for us? It's a wonderful word in the psalm. It's one of the only two things that I know in Hebrew is Chesed Yehovah Mala'ah Ha'aretz. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the whole earth. And this unfailing love of the Lord was evident, yeah, this morning, giving us a context in which to listen to this, to these words about the end times. So we're listening as people who have been told we loved. And we can hear this as a warning to be ready. The second thing that we must know about those that day, you know, I think it was Luther, said there are only 2 days that are important in each person's life. It's this day and that day. And this day's importance is in relationship to that day. And about that day, what do we see about that day? There's going to be a huge thing happening, and it's going to be separation. It's going to be separation. The Lord is going to say, you guys move here, you guys move there. Now, I must confess that for a long time in my own life, Matthew 25 was my least favorite part of the Bible. Really, it freaked me out. And I'll tell you why. It's because I think instinctively I felt I wasn't measuring up to these things that the Lord was commending. And furthermore, which was worse, is that I had an underlying kind of nervousness about getting there one day and Him saying, go with the goats. Now, isn't that tragic? Because I know that is something which some Christians suckle with. They have a problem with this thing. They have this thing. Are we not going to that day be told, no, not this way, that way for you? And now I must tell you that if there's anything that you take away today, the main thing is that our destination will not be discovered there. Our destination will not be discovered there, but our destination is chosen now. Our destination is chosen now. Yeah. And we must know that. That's the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He's paid the price. And if we accept that, then we are saved. We become part of His family. We become sheep. And there's no question about it. So if you accept the Lord and you become part of His family by being born again, you become a sheep. That's it. But now we must remember, look, the default state is goat. So if you don't do anything, the default state is goat. Some people like goats, but... you know, but yeah. The thing is that we have to choose now. That's this. Look, I'm just repeating gospel. This is gospel. You all know it. This is gospel because the gospel is based on a historical fact, on the fact of the cross of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, the cross of Jesus Christ is an indisputable historical fact. It's mentioned in extra biblical sources. There, I don't even think there could be one atheist with any kind of knowledge about history that would dispute it. It's well known. It's documented. So our faith is based on fact, and the Scripture teaches us further that it's also based on a guarantee that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. You can put up Ephesians 1. Can you see that when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Holy Spirit and the resurrection are deposits guaranteeing this. So guys, we're not talking in the air. We're talking true gospel. And if you've accepted this and you've become a sheep, then you're there. It's like the words of the old song, you know, the old spiritual. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time will be no more, when the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the chosen of the Lord shall gather on the shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That's it. Okay, so then what's this about works? What's this about works then? What's this about the sheep were the guys that did it and the goats are the guys that did it? Simply put, if you become a sheep, you act like a sheep. No, even further, you cannot but act like a sheep. You see, it's not the works, it's not the works making them sheep, it's the sheep making the works. It's when you are sheep, that's how you live. And sheep are not just pigs that have been put through a shower. It's not makeup. It's not window dressing. It's a transformation. It's a total transformation. And it's something that starts immediately, but it's a process. We get told in Philippians 2, we get told that we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. This is part of it. It's a process that we're working out the fact we're practicing being sheep. We're practicing our sheepness. Fortunately for us, we're not alone. We have somebody to help us. So let's have a look at 1 Thessalonians. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. God is working. He's managing our sanctification. He's managing the sheep process, the becoming sheep process. And so what happens then? It becomes something which is joyful. It becomes something which is joyful. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of your life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Being a sheep is super. It's joyful. And being a sheep is full of love. Let's look at Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Do you notice what the grammar is there? God's love has been poured out into our life. It's a done thing. The Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's done. It's done. The love of God is in our hearts. And as we live our sheepness in joy and in love, our focus shifts. And we're not thinking about works or gifts from the giver. We start thinking in terms of the giver himself. The Lord becomes more important than the rewards that we could get from him. We stop living through we stop living by rule and we live by love. What's in our heart? You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, we've been there with Craig, that a very similar section where the Lord said in Matthew 7, he says, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, to me is going to enter the kingdom. He says, I'll tell them, go away, I knew you not. That's the key to it. It's knowing the Lord, having a relationship. So this is all about relationship. Now, just to end off, a little practical Christian walk. Because we've still got that list of stuff to do. It hasn't gone away. It's still there. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, etc., etc. That remains there. What do we as Christians do with that? Now, I'm going to make a suggestion, and this is just a personal suggestion. We see it as one of those lists that one has, that one sometimes has with a wedding invitation. You know those wedding invitations that you say, so-and-so, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, I cordially invite you to attend the wedding ceremony of their daughter so-and-so to the so-and-so, the son of blah, 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 at blah, 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 on such and such a date, reception, they give you the address, and then in fine print, down at the bottom says, suggestions for presents or something, go to website, and then they've got a website, and you can go to the website, and it's usually a stinking expensive shop. and then you can, the thing is that it's not such a, that's not, it's, I'm putting it slightly negative now, but I actually must put it positively, because it's actually a brilliant thing. Then you know, even if you're going to spend more than you were really planning to, you at least going to give the couple something that they want. Yeah, Jesus has given us a list like that. You ever thought of that you know, I'd love to give Jesus a present? Well, why don't you? He's given you a list. That's it. That's what we've got here. We've got a list of things that we can give to Jesus. And of course, we're not talking about us doing this to find favor. We're doing this because we've been shown favor, immense favor, and we're still going to be shown. Let's look at Matthew 25, verse 34. First scripture 34. Is then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So let's take note of this list of presents that we can give to Jesus. And if we really take it seriously, just think of what the impact it's going to make on this world, on the poverty and the suffering in this world too. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have come and you have done it historically, and that we can have the absolute assurance of your love and your salvation. And we pray, Lord, that if there's anybody that is still doubtful about this, that you would bring them to a place of certainty, and that you would bring us all to a place of openness of heart and hand, so that in the way that we live with others, we would actually be serving you and giving you presence. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and receive the blessing of the Lord. Bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I pray that the Lord might bless you this coming week in your relationships, in your work, in your play, in everything that you do. Be blessed. Amen. Thank you.
We're going to dismiss the service now. You are welcome to join us for some coffee at the back afterwards. And I would like to extend the invitation. I think it was just so striking from Hans's sermon. If you are not sure, if you are in that place where you are actually, if you have to be super honest with yourself, there's this doubt in the bottom of your heart. Am I a sheep or am I a goat? If this judgment day is tomorrow, am I a sheep or am I a goat? Then we'd love to give you an opportunity. There will be some of the intercessors and cell facilitators at the front to pray with you. So yes, I'm extending that invitation. Please come. Do not leave unsure. And for the rest of us, please join us for some coffee and fellowship at the back. Thank you.